Good morning, and yep, we're doing all kinds of things today. It's Tuesday, it's back to school, it's back at it, and we have Patrick Doyle in the house, and he's here to talk about forgiveness.
Yep. Can you hear the whip faintly cracking in the background?
Well, not only that, but I just heard all a bunch of radios turn off.
I was thinking about the whip cracking for all those kids getting on the bus today.
You will go to school. You will be happy. You will learn, and you will come home smart. All right. Well, anyway, good morning to you. Patrick Doyle's here. He heads up Veritas Counseling. The number to his office is 622-6018. But if you want to have a non-appointment counseling session right now, you can call 776-5368. We're dealing with the subject of forgiveness. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's one of the things I talk about most in my office.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of misinformation about forgiveness, actually. One of the things that I think I hear most often is that people say, well, if I forgive them, that means I have to say it's okay what they did to me.
All right, so now you have – let me see if I can get this right. I forget the term now. Forgiveness and what is not the same?
Forgiveness and reconciliation.
Reconciliation, okay.
Are not the same. They are separate issues. But I want to talk about a few things that I believe forgiveness isn't before we talk about what it is.
Okay. What isn't?
It is not saying that what the person did to you is okay.
Okay.
It is not – getting back into a relationship with them. Whew. Yeah. It is not sweeping the event under the rug. It is not forgetting. Whoever said forgive and forget, I'd like to find him and knock him out a couple times. Forgive and forget. If I could forget the stuff that happened to me, I'd be a lot better off. Yeah. The problem is I cannot forget. Okay. And there's plenty of people listening who've been hurt who wish they could forget too. And when you tell somebody, oh, just forgive and forget, you're putting a lot of pressure on them to do something they can't do.
Yeah, right.
So don't say that.
All right, so it's not forgetting.
No, it's not.
And it's not condoning.
No.
Okay, and what else it is not?
Well, those will do for now.
Well, those are the biggies.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about what forgiveness is about from my perspective.
All right.
Forgiveness is really, in the end, all about justice. When someone wrongs you, what do you want?
I want to make it right.
Yeah. And sometimes my desire for right turns into vengeance. I want to, you know, make sure they pay a little bit for hurting me. God made the statement, though, that vengeance was his. Vengeance isn't ours. Here's the deal. I look back at my own life. I look at what my dad, when I was growing up, I've said this before, and, you know, I just want to make a disclaimer. I didn't do it. I thought about it. When I was a kid, I used to go to the library and I researched how to poison my father. Went to the library, see if I could figure out a way to get rid of him.
Now, did you ever repent of that?
I did, repeatedly.
Okay.
So here's the deal.
I just want to make sure we can move on here. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, well, when you're being tortured or beaten, you know, you don't want to keep – I was looking for a way out. So that was one of the ways I saw it. But let's say that I had been successful. Would that have been bringing justice to that situation?
No.
No. It would have been sin on top of sin.
Right.
Never a good scenario. So here's the thing. But I was deeply wounded. So what am I supposed to do? So God says, look, I will do justice. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't like your form of justice. What if you're nice to them? I don't want you to be nice to them. I want you to get them.
Well, you know, you bring up the topic. Does forgiveness mean you become a doormat?
Absolutely not. In fact, forgiveness is one of the ingredients in keeping you from being a doormat.
What point do you fight back? And I don't mean to necessarily get justice, but to stop the pain.
Right, exactly. So in situations where somebody is unrepentant, and this gets into the issue of reconciliation, but if somebody's hurting you and they're unrepentant, there's no biblical injunction that requires you to have a relationship with them. In fact, the Bible says we're to resist evil. If someone is hurting you repeatedly, that's evil. Particularly if they're calling themselves a brother or sister. Okay? So you can't continue to subject yourself to someone who's harming you. Well, turn the other cheek. No. If someone is harming you repeatedly, tell me how that's going to help, except for you, to destroy you.
Now, this brings into, I mean, all of a sudden now you have to be a qualifier of,
yes,
is the harm really evil, or is the harm vengeance? Is the harm just...
No, it's more about the heart of the other person to me. It's not about the level of harm.
But isn't that putting you in the place of judge?
No, look, if somebody hurts you and they just don't see it as a problem, they just blow past it, they don't even apologize. I mean, they didn't even give it a try.
Yeah.
You can guarantee that person is not repentant. It's not a judgment call. It's an obvious reality. If a guy's abusing his wife, for example, it's an easy one, and he doesn't think it's wrong, and he keeps doing it, mm-hmm. but he says, "I'm sorry," every time, that is a worthless "I'm sorry." If you're sorry, your behavior will change. One of the key components of forgiveness is someone is repentant. Repentance is a spiritual deal. It's not something that I say.
Okay, what if it's a family member?
Okay.
Let's bring it into the main circle of the family. Maybe it's a child.
Okay.
Maybe it's a spouse.
Right.
Maybe it's a brother or sister.
Right.
How do you draw the line in the sand?
Okay, so look, let's put it into terms of context where some people can understand it. So you got to take the typical parent-child relationship. You know, you can either be a parent who's hurting your child, or you can be a child who's hurting your parent.
Right.
And now look, if someone's hurting you, regardless of what their situation is, who they are, what their status is in your life, and they don't repent, then you don't need to continue to offer yourself to them. If you're in their family, you pull away as much as you're capable of. But if they're your dad, why would you offer yourself to be hurt again?
Okay.
Now, forgiveness is the process by which you go to God and you get granted forgiveness so you can maintain the relationship at whatever level you're capable of. But without forgiveness, you will lapse into bitterness, you will lash out, or you will isolate, and you will further destroy the relationship. And now you will become part of the destruction of the relationship if resentment, or as the Bible calls it, a root of bitterness, begins to develop.
Because part of this is, I want to take this phone call, but I want to come back to the act of forgiveness and the act of communion.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll come back to it.
All right. Frank, this is your free counseling moment.
Hey, praise the Lord. Happy Tuesday morning, you guys.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, you know, they say there's no coincidences in God's universe, and I'm going through this right now big time. My wife did something to me last night, which if I didn't have the love of Christ in me and I didn't have the Holy Spirit, then I might not be able to forgive.
Uh-huh.
But she came to me and said she was sorry and repented, and I saw her heart.
Right.
And because I saw, you know, her intention,
right,
was a repentant heart,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit immediately came over me and allowed me to forgive her, because right. he just showed me, how many times have you done things, Frank? How many times have you sinned against me and I forgave you?
Right.
So if I'm big enough to do that, you need to be big enough. Mm-hmm. Forgive her.
Right. And the key component to that situation, Frank, is that your wife was repentant and you can tell.
Yeah. When someone's, I know it was genuine.
When someone's broken, no one has to send you a memo. You're very clear about it. And that's the key process in the relationship restoring. In terms of reconciling, if someone isn't broken like that, I don't suggest you reconcile. I suggest you keep your distance.
Yeah, and you don't even want to reconcile because you feel like they're not repentant.
Exactly.
They're not really sorry.
But here's the other side of it. If someone's truly repentant and you're bitter and resentful, now we got trouble.
Amen to that.
Because you're going to not take it in, you're going to resist them, and you're going to be ready to knock them out.
Yeah.
Get some justice, you know. And so that's why it's very important. In God's economy, forgiveness is a requirement. It's not something we can choose to do. Reconciliation, on the other hand, not a requirement. So forgiveness, again, is between me and God. It's not between me and the other person. And that's one of the things I want to get to this morning very clearly before we run out of time.
All right. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for your testimony. So, in terms of me trusting God for forgiveness or justice, I think the two go together. When someone wrongs me, I want justice. The problem is, Perry, you know as well as I do, I don't have the power to bring about justice,
mm-hmm.
no matter how hard I try. And I've tried many times to bring about justice. The problem is I don't have that power. God is the only one with that power. And he says that he always does justice, but he only does it in two ways from what I can see. One is he pours out all of his wrath onto Christ instead of that person or me, thus satisfying his wrath and doing justice, or he sends him to hell forever. But either way, he promises justice. Now, when somebody wrongs me, I don't always like those two options.
You know, there's two things here that are surfacing real quickly.
Okay.
One is that if you're in the justification mode, chances are you can't sense genuine repentance. If you're looking for justice, mm-hmm. somebody could be genuinely repentive, and you're not going to sense it or feel
it. It'd be harder. Yep.
But at the same time, Frank said something that is the key. You know in your knower. This is the this is the Spirit of God living in us.
Yeah.
When somebody is genuinely mm-hmm. repentive.
That's right.
You know when it's sincere, mm-hmm. and you know when you're being had.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part is that you want your children to be repentive of their issues.
Absolutely.
But their little carnal minds and states and their little hard-headedness and whatever attitude doesn't allow it to be sincere, because right. you don't see any tears. You don't right. see any brokenness. You say, it's my turf, my way, and I'll mm-hmm. think about it later.
So you have
they wear you down.
Yes, exactly. So you have what I call the I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
So here's – I just want to give you my definition of what that means. Anytime I hear somebody say, but, I heard – can I say this? I heard our president say it the other day on the healthcare debate. He said, you know, we need to debate these things, and that's really good. We need to get this right, but we need to make a decision. In other words, shut up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, so when anytime somebody says, I'm sorry, but, whenever says – I always hear it this way, blah, 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 blah. When they say but, then they're saying, forget everything I just said. Now I'm going to tell you what I really think.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but you.
Yeah.
And when you hear someone say that, I guarantee you something, that person is not repentant.
All right. So you, what do you do?
So at that point you realize.
You back up?
Well, at that point you realize I'm dealing with someone who does not, A, realize they've harmed me.
Yeah, but they may think you've harmed them.
They may. They may. But here's the deal. If I have harmed them, then that's up to God to convict me of. If I'm not convicted, I'm not going to change. Like you said, how easy is it to rationalize, justify, you know, minimize, deny? We all do it on some level. So here's the thing. When God's conviction comes in, I think in Frank's story illustrates it well. His wife was convicted of her wrong toward Frank. When she confessed to him, he knew that it was based on conviction, not I want to smooth this over, and I want us to have some level of false peace so we can get on with our lives, which is a lot of what is going on. In fact, I don't really believe in I'm sorry or I apologize. I really believe that to repair our relationships, what we should be doing is saying, I want to confess to you the sin I'm convicted of. If you're not confessing a sin, you're not repairing a relationship.
How do you... Boy, you know how to step in it, don't you?
I live in it.
Well, you do. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Doyle's phone number, not mine, his phone number is 622-6018. 622-6018.
Uh-huh.
To his office. Here, if you want to talk to him, is 776-5368. Here's what's so difficult with this issue. I have seen Christian leaders fail.
Yes.
And it's one of the saddest, most difficult things mm-hmm. and painful things for people to go through.
Yes.
And in today's culture, I think the enemy is working overtime to get Christian leaders to fail, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways.
And sometimes he doesn't need a lot of help.
Well, yeah. I mean,
a lot of us are pretty willing.
Yeah. All right. So a Christian leader fails.
Uh-huh.
And he or she apologizes
mm-hmm.
and wants to be restored back as to if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you reconcile that mm-hmm. in the term of reconciliation? In other words, the whole core of the Christian message is redemption
right.
and reconciliation.
That's right.
But does that mean back to as if it never happened?
No. If for example, if you failed, Perry, tomorrow, and you came to me and you confessed your failure, I would be your brother all the way through it. I wouldn't leave you. I probably wouldn't encourage you to be the leader of the radio station, though. I would probably encourage you to step down from any position of importance or leadership. I would really want you to focus on getting better. I would want you to focus on dealing with your family who's going through hardship. And that's what I see this problem with leaders is exactly that. They want to confess the failure, say, I'm sorry, and then move on like it didn't happen. Well, that to me indicates there's no true repentance.
Well, that was where I was going with that.
Right.
Because I have seen this over and over. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm dealing with one now outside of the area, so don't anybody read between the lines.
Right.
I'm dealing with the same issue outside of the area mm-hmm. in a whole other town, another area of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, wait a minute. Wait
yeah.
a minute.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with mm-hmm. this picture.
And I think what happens is the position becomes idolatrized. You're more interested in being in the position than you are being intimate with God.
Well, here's what I don't understand. How can you be in Christian leadership, get caught in sin, and not be broken?
Well, that's...
I mean, at what point did your heart get so hard that it became a rock that God can't even break it?
Well, and it says a lot about maybe why you were doing what you were doing. And again, I don't mean to be stepping on toes. I'm just walking. But there's a lot of that going on in the church today, and I get to be up close and personal with a lot of it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I see what's going on in guys' hearts and minds. And really, there's a tremendous level of hardness a lot of times that's involved because sometimes it requires that to survive in the position. And again, it gets back to my idea that men are lonely and men are isolated, and that is part of what's killing them, is that they have no safety. And in the next few weeks, be on the lookout for it as the timing works out. I'm going to have Nate Larkin on, who is the author of a book called The Samson and the Pirate Monks. He also is a guy who sort of started the Samson Society. If you want a little... a free teaser on his testimony, you can go to iamsecond.com and look up Nate Larkin. And he's a pastor who was in big-time sin, Perry, and the Lord convicted him. He came forward. No one found him out. And he was pretty sure his life as a pastor was over, and as it should have been with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And what he tells is the story of God's redemption of his life and his marriage and how God did that and what it took for him to recover from that severe isolation and duplicity he lived in. And I find most men that I give the book to who are in positions of leadership or who feel alone, they just scream out, "What?" Yes.
You know, this whole thing of forgiveness, the hardest part I find is this. If it's an issue of friendship outside the immediate family circle,
yes.
If it's an issue of friendship, as painful as that is, you can usually turn that person around.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, at least in my experience, mm-hmm. and I'm certainly mm-hmm. no pro like you. I'm just, you know, Dumbo in the back corner. But then when you bring it into the family circle.
Right. It's a little complicated, doesn't it?
It's a whole lot more complicated. Yeah. There's another level of pain.
Right.
And you're dealing with defiance at a level that you just don't know what to do with.
Yeah. And
I can't help but think, you know, in many cases, you just find the peaceful way out. It may not mm-hmm. even be the right way out, but
right.
you just say, I don't want this storm. I'm mm-hmm. going to walk around it.
Well, and the other thing that I think of often is that if we all have one father, that means we're brothers mm-hmm. in the church, okay? But I don't think we act that way. Because if my brother was in trouble, and I've done it. I've been right up in his grill, my own brother. I've been right up in his grill, and I've told him what I thought. I've bailed him out of trouble. I've let him cry on my shoulder. I've all that. And he's still my brother, and he's messed up. He's done a lot of things that he wishes he hadn't. But I stay with him. But my relationship is very different. If I have a guy who's I know is repentant, I'm going to be close to that guy in a way that's really nice. But if the person is unrepentant, it prevents me from being close to them. How can you be close to somebody who's not being honest?
All right. Before we run out of time, because I think this is a real key. I'm becoming more and more concerned, and this isn't a recent thing. It's something that's been inside of my heart for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in Bible college, going through the various classes to mm-hmm. go through, and we came to the subject of communion.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guest lecturer that day, that came in and spoke. And in fact, it was the late Mark Buntain, who was the incredible missionary to Calcutta. Mm. In fact, he's probably as well known in Calcutta as Mother Teresa was. Mark Buntain, yeah, he's an unbelievable guy.
Right.
And he came to the class that day, and the subject was communion. And I'll never forget, it's so embedded in me,
mm-hmm.
that the drinking and the eating of damnation into your soul
mm-hmm.
hinges on your ability to be clean and transparent before God. We don't mm-hmm. take communion serious anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's an identification. It's one of the two ordinances, communion and baptism, the only two ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting in there, and all of a sudden, we're just taking communion. We're going on, wait a minute. There's mm-hmm. a time in there that says, you got ought. You better mm-hmm. deal with it real quick.
Right.
And there's been times that I knew I wasn't right,
mm-hmm.
and I let the cup pass,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Because I was harboring things in my life. I just couldn't. I had enough of the spiritual guilt, the good kind of guilt.
Right.
It didn't allow me to take it because I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You had to deal with something.
Well, I would be stepping on this ordinance. I mm-hmm. would be making it less valuable than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people that compound spiritually the mess
mm-hmm.
because they're flippantly taking communion
mm-hmm.
and they're not making. Am I overboard on this?
I think so.
Okay, folks, so we'll have to pick this up next week.
And I'll tell you,
my fundamentalism is coming out and yeah, I'm no good here?
No, I think there's a lot of good in what you're saying in that we have to take it serious. But here's the thing that I want to underscore, which is that the communion is a celebration of the fact that you and I are made right by God's sacrifice on our behalf, which then empowers me and motivates me not to harbor the bitterness or hold the offense against that person because of what God has done on my behalf.
Why does it say leave the offering there and go make it straight?
Exactly. And what I'm saying is that the forgiveness of God should be a convictor of me, mm-hmm. not to hold things against my brother. And Jesus was very clear. He says, if you come to the altar, hey, go make – and you remember that your brother has something against you, not you have something against him. You go make it right with him and then come back and make your offering. But here's my thing. The beauty of the whole process is that because of God's great forgiveness for me, I have the opportunity to go to him and in great comfort with him, I can then, out of that intimacy, move forward towards someone else. And that's the thing that I pick up on what you're saying, Perry, which is that we underestimate the power of what God has done. And therefore, we stay stuck in our stuff.
Yeah, but where's
we don't move forward.
Where is the Holy Spirit conviction? And isn't that what?
Yes, I'm hoping we get some of that.
Isn't there two things that the Holy Spirit's responsible
that's
for?
That's right.
Conviction of sin and what
comfort.
Else?
Comfort. That's right.
So where is the Holy Spirit conviction?
Good question.
In making it right.
So if
you can just pass it over.
Right. So here's the thing. If I see somebody living a life without any conviction, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's there. And that's one of the things I look at. If somebody has no comfort or conviction, I'm wondering if they even had the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, it has a whole bunch of other complications. That means a whole bunch of other things. But without conviction in your life, I'm wondering. Look, I don't go through very many days in a row, unless I have really good denial, without some conviction. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be this side of heaven. And so conviction should be a common reality in my life. And if it's not, like you're saying, Perry, we're in trouble. And subsequently, the power of the gospel is leached out of us because we're all full of stuff that God has provided a way to deal with. He has forgiven me, not because I deserve it, because he's immensely good and very merciful. And I can extend it to you, even when you frustrate me, and even when you're not repentant, because of him. Now, if our relationship on earth is to be restored, it's because I repent or you repent, and we come together, and we break those walls down. But without that, there's going to be difficulty. You can't get around it. If you don't repent, if you aren't forgiving, there's going to be difficulty that will not mend. There's going to be difficulty even if you do those things. But those are ways that you can get out of the relational difficulty
All
instead
right.
of staying in it.
Let's summarize this. By the way, this is a big topic, and I
yes.
realize at the end of the day, it's the core of most of the things you deal with.
Yes.
the act of forgiveness.
Trying to work through it, that's
but
right.
But forgiveness is not forgetting, and forgiveness is not condoning.
No.
And forgiveness is not reconciliation.
That's right.
So forgiveness is an act of your will to say the wrong that has been acted upon against me, even though in the subject of justice, it is totally an injustice.
Right.
By an act of my will, I'm choosing to forgive this person. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't erase my hurt, doesn't erase my feeling.
Nope.
But it
nope.
does clear the slate for me and God to have a conversation.
That's right. And I would be saying it's really about me going to God and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm giving this to you, and I'm trusting you to take care of the justice on this.
Right.
And I need you, God, to grant me, as I believe it's something he grants, not something you muster up, grant me forgiveness so that I can relinquish the wound that's been done to me.
Right.
Instead of holding on to it and creating bitterness.
All right.
God bless you.
Yeah, right.
Out there. Don't give up.
No, no. All right, Patrick Doyle, the number is 622-6018, the number to his office. A huge topic. And,
yes.
We need to continue to deal with it, because I think that a lot of people...
Yes.
You know what? It's robbed us of our joy.
Absolutely. A lot of things. That's
and
just
the
one
joy
of
the Lord is your strength.
That's
and if
right.
we're weak, it's because we have no joy. And if we have no joy, it's because we're living under this...
all this terrible stuff that we can't control, which God clearly says... He's got in his hand. It's no big deal.
Thank you, brother.
You bet.